Welcome to Newborn to Teen and Everything in Between, the podcast from Bespoke Family. I'm Bex.
And I'm Claire. Thanks for joining us as we tackle the ups and downs of life with children, helping you to get the best out of your time together. No rules, no judgment, just guidance. So grab a cuppa and let's get started with today's episode.
Welcome to this episode of Newborn to Teen and Everything Between. And for this episode, we're delighted to welcome our lovely good friend, Susie Amy, who some of you will know from, well, I certainly know from Footballers' Wives, and I think Hollyoaks and lots of different, I mean, you'll know her from so many things. We were lucky enough to see you, Susie, in a wonderful play in Bath. Now, I'm not going to remember the name.
It was Fatal Attraction.
Oh, I've got such a terrible memory, Susie, but it was incredible. So we're just so happy to, and people are a bit like now, well, so why do you have a Footballer's Wives, Hollyoaks, and you know, an actress on with you? But actually, it's to talk about being mum, isn't it?
Well, the reason we're friends and the reason you guys came to see me in Bath is because you helped me so much. I was introduced to Claire through a mutual friend, my friend Ida, who, when my first baby Noah was born 5 years ago now, I was given an amazing gift of 3 days with Claire. And it was something that I didn't initially take advantage of because I was breastfeeding, responding to every single noise and anything at all that Noah seemed to need, I was there. I was glued to her. She was glued to me 24/7. So I thought, I'll use this gift later on when I maybe want to go somewhere, when I've adjusted. I just couldn't imagine being able to switch off by taking advantage of the advice and expertise Claire could have offered me in those early days. So we ended up in a situation where I had read a book while I was pregnant called The Science of Parenting, which is a great book. But one thing I had picked up from this book that I had maybe taken a little bit too literally was respond to your baby. Now, of course, you respond to your baby. But what I was not giving Noah the chance to do was self-soothe in any way. If there was any noise at all, I was by her side. I was picking her up. I was breastfeeding her back to sleep. Anything to soothe her, I was doing. And we ended up in a situation where she was about, well, that summer. So she was born in the January, and in the July, Raf and I went with Ida and family to Ibiza for a lovely family trip. And Noah, they have a baby who's a very similar age to Noah, who was settled in a routine, completely happy. And I was witnessing this, but still taking Noah every single place that I went. If we went out for lunch, which I now know would have been a great nap time for her, she was with me. She was with us. And being not a huge sleeper myself, I just kept thinking, my baby's just like me. She doesn't need a lot of sleep. Yes, she's cranky. Yes, she needs feeding nonstop. And, you know, I was still breastfeeding at that point, and she was just attached to me. And I didn't for a second consider that more sleep leads to better sleep. And we ended up in a really bad situation where I was up sometimes 13 times in a night with her. And as I said, any noise, I was there. And it just got to a point of, I just loved her so much, but I was so exhausted, always happy, which I'm grateful for, but exhausted. And I just thought, if we want to extend our family or get any form of a life back, what are we going to do? So in the November, so she was 10 months old, Claire finally came to our house. Now, I didn't take advantage of all 3 days. She just came to watch us for a day in a very non-judgmental way, which I'm forever grateful for. And we were in temporary accommodation because while we'd been in Ibiza that summer with Ida and family, our house had flooded. And we were moved for a month to the Premier Inn due to buildings insurance, and then into rented accommodation for a number of months. So that is where Claire first visited us. And the Premier Inn had been an all-time low in the August. We were there for 30 nights, all in one room. And when I say Noah was up with me all night, I mean all night. So by the time November came, We were going to a wedding and we were building up to that. So Claire observed us for a day and she didn't really say much. But at the end of the day, she made some recommendations to us, which was at the time a morning nap at 9 a.m. Get her up at 7, a morning nap at 9 till 10, no longer. Then 1 o'clock, put her down until potentially 3:30 p.m. Now, I'll tell Claire this now that made me laugh out loud. I thought, okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, she's going to sleep that long. And Raf's my partner, and he really made sure that we stuck to this. And we did stick to this. And then Raf began getting up with her at night, because at this point I was still breastfeeding, but we sort of realized that potentially she was on solids at this point and she was feeding very well through the day. And she potentially wasn't needing those night feeds and that night comfort for me. So Raf began going to her rather than me. And before we knew it, we had a child who slept on that lunchtime nap until 3:30, until she was 4 years old, and slept through the night from 7 till 7. Yes, we finally dropped the morning nap. You know, I can't remember exactly when, but maybe at 14 months or whatever. But it was unbelievable. And I genuinely had thought to myself, my baby's different. My baby doesn't sleep. My baby's the one that doesn't do this. And I was so wrong. And the things that I was doing that I thought were best for her, my constant response to her, that was not just responding to her, but to an extreme, and the breastfeeding to sleep, it really was not helpful in the slightest. And she is a child that ironically thrives on a routine, more so even than my second. And so basically, thank you, Claire. And that is how we know each other so well, because we then, when my second baby was then born, I remember calling Claire very early on and saying, how soon is a routine? You know, how soon is too soon for a routine? Because I was that keen not to make those same mistakes again. And I would say to people who maybe feel like I did, it is really important to know that you don't have to put up with, that's a funny expression to use about a baby, but that level of disruption, because it's not good for parent or carer or baby. And I'm so grateful that we ended up with my second child now is 3.5, and she's still doing that lunchtime nap until 3:30 every day. I pick her up from nursery at 12:45. She comes home and has a little bit of downtime and then goes down for that nap. And I can't believe I've got this amazing structure with my children.
I think also, I remember that day coming to visit you guys. And it was that, this is just, you know, this is us and this is just how it is. And it was like, both you and Raf were exhausted. And so was Noah, actually. Like she was... You could see that she wanted to sleep, but she just didn't quite know when to sleep or how to do it. And she took to it so well, didn't she? She just went to it. And it was just like, oh, this is really not... There wasn't anything dramatic. There wasn't any kind of, you know, really awful moments. I think lots of people think that it involves, you know... lots of crying or lots of upset, and it just doesn't have to be. It's just putting a bit of routine in, that we all work to a routine, whether we're really laid back or, you know, we all have a different level of routine, but we all know when we're going to eat roughly, we all know when we're going to go to bed roughly, yet for our little ones, they have no idea. And so they're just relying on us to go, it is nap time now, you are at the point where you were exhausted, you need to have a sleep. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll go with that. And then it just naturally falls into them kind of enjoying their sleep.
I think the other amazing thing that you gave to us in terms of your knowledge was the repetition. So singing the same song. So the sleep signals, I think, are vital. So even if we're at my mum's, let's say it's Christmas Day, Rosie still went down for a nap, not for as long because we had to eat, but I still made sure, and she's 3 and a half and I'm still not skipping her nap. The only time Rosie skipped a nap was one travel day that it was just unavoidable when we were flying. And she coped, but she still benefits from it. So we still do the same routine. You know, at the time with Noah, it was, we used a little bit of white noise, which I don't think was something you necessarily pushed, but we were using it. So we used a bit of that. We sang Twinkle Twinkle into the sleep bag. It was still a feed at the time. It was all of the things that told her, this is your sleep moment. And she really, really loved it. And still now, you know, let's say we were back later than usual one night or caught in traffic and we tried to skip her story. That doesn't wash with her. She wants her routine. And I think what's scary, having spoken to friends who've struggled and I've referred them to you or suggested you guys to talk to, I think what scares a lot of people is I don't want to be home from 1 till 3:30. I don't know how that's going to fit into my day. And one of the biggest things the girls have given me is routine for myself. Being an actor who had a very flexible schedule, and when I wasn't working, so I'd work and then I'd head out to New York to see my friend Bundy. I'd go to LA to see Ida, or I'd go traveling here or traveling there. I'd do these bits and pieces, and I had no routine. I'd go to sleep when I wanted. Sometimes I'd be like, do my VAT return till 3 a.m. and then I'd get up at 9. And then other days I'd... And actually what this has given me is I'm not free at that time. Or I have to make sure if I have gone to work or whatever, that somebody else is here for her nap. And thankfully Raf works from home, so that works really well. But it works. It gives everybody that routine. And it's scary when mm-hmm. you go into parenting and you really want to be a parent, but you just don't know how you would do that for them. You know, it, whether they go to nursery or a childminder's, if you want your child to sleep at that time, you give that instruction to wherever they are that is your wish. And I've just found it vital. They're happier, more balanced children because they're in a routine.
I remember coming back to you guys when you had Rosie, and I remember putting Noah, because I had them for a couple of days because you guys went away. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, Noah's going, you know, she hasn't seen me for a long time. Is she going to go down? And I remember putting her to bed that evening and she climbed on my lap and was a bit like, sing Twinkle Twinkle. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, yes, I put this in place and now I'm... And do you know what?
Yes.
She was a dream because I knew her routine. And so she just climbed on my lap, had a cuddle. We sang Twinkle Twinkle. She then practically climbed in her cot at the point that time and was just like, okay, no, like, off you go. I'm done now. But it was...
Well,
so
this might be the funniest story of all on this occasion, because Claire came back to us. I had turned 40 in the April, but we were still locked down. So this was 2021. So Rosie had been born in the October. This was July, she was 9 months old. And I was exclusively breastfeeding. This child would not take a bottle. She was obviously on solid food by then, but minimal. She was still young. It was still just more putting it in her mouth and not really swallowing. And what's so funny, this shows my trust in Claire, because I am really, you know, protective and caring about my children, obviously. But I happily left Claire with my 9-month-old baby who would not take a bottle, and her main source of food was milk. Mm-hmm. I left a bottle and we went away for 2 days. We went down to Babington House and it was absolutely wonderful. And I remember, I think in the middle of that night, Claire messaged me and said she's just taken 6 ounces or something. But thank you, Claire, because that was a lot to leave you with a baby that flatly had refused a bottle the whole time.
But she did. Yep, she did it. And interestingly, I don't think she did it again after I'd left, did she? It was once you got home.
I tried. When we got home, I tried to just keep it up to give me that flexibility of being away if needed. And the bottle was flatly refused.
A lot of it is about predictability, isn't it? And actually, she knew that mummy wasn't there and she wasn't going to get any breast milk, you know, in terms of, you know, a breastfeed. But she needed food, didn't she? So she knew that Claire was following exactly the same thing that you always did. And she knew that at this stage in the routine, we have a feed and mummy isn't here. So this person's going to give me something different. And it just works, doesn't it, when the children know what to expect.
Which, I think I still have the photo of the bottle, which was empty, that I took.
Yes.
I still have that.
If I look back on our WhatsApp chain, I'm sure I've still got the photo too. I was so thrilled because, you know, at that point...
It was a triumph.
Yeah, at that point, we really hadn't been away, and I'd really, you know, wanted to do something nice with Raph. You know, we'd had the children quite close together, and it had been pretty full on. So it was so nice to go away for a couple of days and just know that Claire, if anybody could do it, Claire could do it. So yes, it was a huge thing that she. I do think that links back to the routine because she was so settled anyway. Somebody else could slot in and help us mm-hmm. for those couple of days. And it's just really important. I think what I just want to let people know, if they are struggling in the way I was, I hadn't had much experience with children before having them. I've got nephews who I adore and friends with children, but I'd never been somebody to help in terms of their routine or looking after them on a long-term basis. So I'd never had a baby to take care of on my own. And I just felt this huge responsibility. And I really, you know, and I just want people to know that actually a few easy changes, and that doesn't mean leaving your baby crying for hours or anything like that. Although I was a little bit tougher on Rosie, who's our second, in terms of I didn't rush round the door if she wasn't quite settling. If she was crying, of course I went round the door. But I just gave her that minute and tried to put her down awake rather than asleep. So I'd breastfeed her. And then with Noah, I used to lower her into the cot so that she'd stay asleep, which was next to my bed. But with Rosie, I'd make sure that I'd then chat to her for a moment before putting her down so that she then knew that she herself could get to sleep rather than needing the aid of me to put her to sleep. I just think a few easy changes can make everybody's life better, parents, carers, and their children. And I'm just so grateful that, I wish in retrospect I'd had a bit of that knowledge earlier or seek that earlier and didn't sort of think my child's different, because she wasn't. She was kind of textbook, really. But I just hadn't appreciated that because I've suffered insomnia and just assumed my baby was, you know, not needing the amount of sleep other people did either.
But like you say, it is a strange concept, isn't it, that children need more sleep in order to sleep better. When I was first a mum, I was exactly the same as you. I was like, well, I don't want them to sleep now because they won't sleep tonight. But actually, the reverse is true, isn't it?
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, I remember reading books, you know, in advance, etc. And speaking to Claire, because we would see each other through our mutual friends. And that concept of getting your baby up at 7 a.m. and then going back for a nap, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, was, I mean, it's a lovely idea, but it just didn't make any sense. But weirdly, it's needed and it works. I never was very successful, even with Rosie, on the after. So on a newborn, let's say a three-month-old, there is that window in the afternoon that they could benefit, maybe even from half an hour, 45 minutes. And I always tried to do that. But that nap I never quite mastered. A few days it worked, and I always tried it, and she was always really happy. She never, you know, if she was awake in that nap, I would just get her up. When we moved into our house that we're now in, we have this dressing room off the bedroom. So when Rosie was over 6 months, but I still wasn't ready to put her in her room, she slept in our dressing room so that I could, she was getting her own space. And that was the sweetest little thing, going around the door. So I used to sit in the bedroom and wait and listen. And that afternoon nap, I never quite mastered. But I know that's quite an important one too. Am I right?
It is, but it's the trickiest one to typically get them to have. Because it does depend on the good morning nap, the good afternoon nap. And sometimes they just don't need it, that last one. Whereas other babies are so needing that. And actually look for that nap for quite a while, you know, up until probably about 8 months. Others will drop it 5-6 months. So it's just dependent. But I think it's trusting your instincts as a parent of knowing that actually my baby needs this. So like you've even said, Rosie and Noah are slightly different anyway. We could have done the same routine that we put together for Noah, for Rosie, but actually it needed tweaks for Rosie because she's a different person. Yes. She's a different baby. She has different sleep needs. She has all of those things. And that's okay. You know, what the general kind of blueprint of a routine is there, and then you tweak it to what your family needs. And it's interesting you said about the naps and people not wanting to be kind of nap trapped. And we've actually just done a podcast on it, and we've done, because it seems to be a real thing of, I don't want to be stuck at home for a nap. But it's interesting that you've said, but I look at it in a really positive way, and that really helps. And I would also say, that afternoon nap, if you can get a good 2 hour nap out of your baby and you can just be at home having a cup of tea and getting on with work, or even just sat watching TV, whatever, I would take that 2 hour nap. I'd be happy to be stuck at home for that personally.
It's a chance to get either work done. You know, for me, I've been working recently on a different sort of project, and I've really needed that time. And Noah's now at school. But I remember when Noah was not at school yet, but had dropped that nap. I mean, Raph kept saying to me, she's clearly ready to drop it, like, let it go. And I just struggled to, like, because I'd become so used to it myself. And she was my big sleeper. And then she actually did then begin to struggle at night for a bit, but she flatly would not have that lunchtime nap. And then, this is so naughty, but when Rosie was still napping, there were a couple of days, because every now and then in that time as well, I would catch up on half an hour, because if I'd been working late at night and I was, so a couple of times I said to Noah, come and nap with mummy. So a few times she's like sat there awake, stroking me. Well, I've had a little asleep on the sofa next to her or something for half an hour. Very funny. But it is, I personally have really valued it. And other people that I've spoken to, and listen, no judgment on how anyone does anything. I just have known what has worked for us. I always think with like a car seat nap or a pram nap, I never see that as the same sort of restorative rest. Because if I am to sleep on an aeroplane or in the car, I don't get that same quality of sleep. So every now and then that would be fine. But it's interesting with Rosie, because we've never broken it. People always say to me, oh, will she fall asleep in the car on the way home? No, because she's not used to it. She has never, ever taken a nap in the car. So therefore, if we're driving home, Raph's family live in North London and we live out in Berkshire. If we're driving home and everybody goes, oh, is she going to fall asleep on the way home? She won't. She knows to wait for her bed. So I think that's really interesting too. Noah, because we'd had that very disruptive initial start for her, would sleep in the car. But Rosie, who loves her sleep, will not.
Isn't it interesting how you knew this stuff when Claire came to see you? You heard about these routines. But as a new mum, nobody really tells you this stuff, do they? And, you know, you can seek it out. You can read books. You can kind of go on to Instagram or wherever. I mean, I didn't have social media when mine were born, so I had nowhere except for books. And really what you want is somebody just to come and say, like Claire did, you know, just try this. And so I think having a podcast like this where you're talking about, actually, really, you would have quite liked somebody to have come in quite early to say to you, you know, this is very simple. You know, you just have to divide the day up into a few chunks, and this is the time that would be optimum. And yes, they do need sleep and all of those things. Actually, it would have been so much more helpful. So I you know, thank you to you for coming on and talking about it, because there's going to be lots of people in this same situation thinking, I'm never going to get any sleep. My child's never going to get any sleep. What are we, you know, what's going on? How can we get some sleep, really?
Just to touch on it again, and obviously it depends how people are before they have children, but everybody always says to you, oh, you know, good luck for kind of never getting sleep again. Now, I have to say, I now sleep better than I ever have. Well, apart from when I was younger, but in the last two decades, I now sleep better than I ever have. again, because I'm in a routine. So every single day I get the girls up at 7. And if I was to lie in and Raf to 7:45 or 8 and Raf was to get up instead, it kind of ruins my go to bed routine that night. I really am now in a routine, and a sleep therapist had spoken to me about this years before I had the girls. I was having real problems and it was really depressing me. I just couldn't switch off. That's because I wasn't in a routine. And the lady said to me, whatever you do, whatever, how much sleep you get, whatever sleep you get in the night, you have to be up at 6:30. And again, I didn't really listen. You know, I sort of thought, oh, how miserable when I don't need to be up till 9 at the time if I wasn't working. But actually, had I listened to her, now that I get up exactly the same time every single day, and even if Raf and I do go away for a couple of days, as Claire and I have discussed there, I still wake up then. Like, my body now wakes me up then. And I've got more sleep now than ever. So to any parents who feel like, oh my goodness, I will never ever sleep again, it really doesn't have to be the case. A good routine, and people might have been in much better routines than I ever was. Mine was really, really bad. But it's not now. And I'm really grateful for it. I feel healthier. I feel brighter. I just have a routine myself, thanks to having children, which is really ironic. I'm getting better rest and better sleep. All these, I'm a few years into it now. Rosie's 3 1/4 and Noah's just turned 5 yesterday. And I did look at photos yesterday, because you always get a bit nostalgic on your child's birthday. And I remember that day she was born. And I don't think I've ever been so exhausted in my life because of the time I went into labor and then being awake for a day and then her being born at 1 a.m. I'd lost, I remember thinking, this is wonderful. It's the best day of my life. But oh my goodness. And it's so nice to like look back and think, oh, I did get my rest again. Life was restored, because that first little bit, you sometimes feel like, you know, you really are going to become very ill on sleep exhaustion. But I think the other thing, speaking of routine, is I think it would be easier for new parents if their child could go straight into a routine. But obviously there's that newborn stage where that isn't the case. They do just kind of doze all day, doze all night, wake up when they need food. So I think for me with Rosie, that's why I messaged Claire saying, how soon can I put her in this routine? Because I just knew how beneficial it was going to be. And I was just looking for that right moment to start it. So yeah, I just think, you know, the soonest it can happen, the better for everyone.
And I think also it's that waking up at the same time in the morning and looking at a bedtime bath time routine is one of the first things that I would say from kind of that 8-10 week period. It's like, start that. Get up every morning. Just start the day. Even if you go back to bed half an hour later, you've started your day, and it's for you. It's not just for baby. It is so good for you to get up, get some sunlight, put the lights on, start your day so that your circadian rhythm is already kicking in, that it's night and day. Because when you do have little ones and you're up through the night, that feeling in the morning where you're like, I don't know what, it's like permanent jet lag, which is brutal anyway. And then you obviously have a little one that is then feeding and you just feel exhausted. And so many people, when I'm like, yeah, just get up at the same time every morning, they're like, I don't really want to.
I know.
And it's like, it's
really hard, but it does lead to better things, is one of those things, isn't it? And I do remember when Noah was a few months old, let's say 4 months, my friend India, who had worked as a nanny and has a child, had messaged me saying something, are you going here or can I come down and see you? Something along those lines. And I sent her a picture of Noah. It was midday, saying she's still asleep. From overnight, by the way, this wasn't, I'll get her up soon. And I'd obviously maybe given her a feed at like 8 a.m., but she was still tired. So I put her back in bed, and looking back, she was like, she like laughed. And I was thinking, well, this works for me. And actually looking back, that was crazy. I sort of thought, great, she's still asleep. I can get stuff done. I can do the washing or whatever. And actually that was so unhelpful, because come that night, obviously, she hadn't seen any sunlight. It was, you know, the blinds were drawn. That's not right. That, looking back, that wasn't a wise phase for me.
But then no one tells you.
How did you know?
Yeah. That's the thing.
I know, but I had the privilege of being gifted 3 days of Claire that I hadn't used. So yeah, I know that that is an unusual gift, an incredibly generous gift, and something that, you know, people might not think of gifting. And my friend had known how valuable it was when she did give me that gift. And I was thrilled when the same gift arrived when Rosie was born. Absolutely thrilled. Because it is the best thing ever. Just having either that support in those first few days. It's actually one of the best gifts you can give to somebody who's a new parent, or, you know, whether it's first baby, second or third or fourth or whenever. It's just that support. It's just that night away, or it's just that night's sleep. Whatever it is, just having that support is so invaluable.
And we do offer parent consultations if parents are struggling with sleep. So, mm-hmm. you know, they can also have, you know, a Claire or a family consultant to just look at, like with you, just look at what they're doing and actually what might help. And
yes.
putting some kind of routine, whatever, like you say, whatever suits their family, because every family is different and parents like to approach things in different ways. And that's absolutely okay. But having a bespoke plan for you really, you know, really can help. And like
massively.
You say, get you some sleep and sanity back. Yeah.
Do you think there was enough to prepare you for parenthood? Or do you think it really kind of was completely different to what you expected it to be?
That's a really, really good question. Raph and I are both really relaxed people. Well, I think I am. I am in some ways. He's very laid back. You know, we're both quite laid back. So I expected this serene, relaxed experience with the most chilled baby in the world. And when that didn't happen, you know, and then I'd done the hypnobirthing courses and I felt really prepped for labor. And then I was vomiting in excruciating pain. I know everybody's labor is different, but I then had an epidural, best thing ever, but not planned. So everything I sort of had planned kind of went the other way. And other people expect, oh, this is going to be, and it's great for them. So it's so weird how you can never really plan. And I did as much planning as I could. Like I say, I read The Science of Parenting. I really knew to respond to anything the baby needed, and all sorts of other stuff from that book and other books. Raph and I did an 18-state American road trip when I was pregnant because he'd never been to America, which I thought was criminal. So I arranged it. And all we did was listen to parenting books. So we were prepared. You know, I was 37 at the time. I was really excited. And on that trip, we also had taken the result of boy or girl. We decided the first time around to find out. And we'd taken the photo in an envelope to open somewhere magical on the trip. So when I say we were excited, we were really excited. And yeah, it just all... It suddenly, a few months in, I mean, it was one of the happiest times of my life, I have to say. But it was so exhausting. And I really didn't see it ever getting better. I just thought, this is where we're at. I'm never going to be able to go to work. You know, I knew breastfeeding would obviously end at some stage, which it did when I was 5 months pregnant with Rosie. You know, everything just kind of, it was a whirlwind of a time. That looking back was so amazing. It still is so amazing. And I've heard that 5 years, which Noah's just turned, is the best of all. I know that's a debate that's often brought up. So, you know, it's still amazing, but we're just grateful to have a routine and have some sleep. It doesn't have to be as hard. Just because people will sort of tell you horror stories, and I appreciate I've shared mine to a level today, it doesn't have to be like that. Because it wasn't with Rosie the second time round.
Well, I think, Susie, just hearing that story is going to resonate with so many parents. I think, you know, even the way you describe things is exactly the way that I found the first few months of parenthood. Unfortunately, I didn't know Claire at that stage, which I still to this day wish that I had, because in the exact same way, you know, actually having someone to tell you, sometimes when you read the books, the babies haven't read the books and you just need somebody to look at what you're doing as well, and kind of tailor it to you a little bit. But equally, you know, just what you've said, I think, is just going to be so helpful for so many people, just to know that there is there is life the other side of sleepless nights. So thanks so much for sharing it with us. It's been amazing to hear how much, and also to hear, you know, how much Claire helped. You know, for us that means a huge amount as well, so thank you.
Well, it's very, very genuine. I'm incredibly grateful. And one last thing that I love about Claire is how calm she remains and how she really does look at each unique situation, because I've seen her dealing with other people as well. She doesn't just assume that one shape fits all. And yeah, we found such a happy balance with everything. So thank you guys so much for all that you do for lots of people, not just for me. It makes a huge difference if everybody can just be happy in the family in terms of day to day without being utterly exhausted. Exhaustion helps no one.
No, you need to try and enjoy your children, don't you, if you can.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for coming on the podcast. It's been so lovely to speak to you.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me. See you soon.
That's everything for today. Thanks for listening. If there's something you'd like us to talk about, we'd love you to get in touch and let us know. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Bespoke Family, or head to our website. The links are in our show notes.
Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss the next episode, and please give us a rating or review if you like what you hear. We're Bex and Claire, and we'll be back soon with another episode of Newborn to Teen and Everything in Between. See you then.